Closings. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So is this a sort of closing like a real estate deal?
Sort of. I mean, if you've bought a house or you've been involved in that, that's the same basic kind of concept. The closing is where the deal that you've been working on actually happens. It's where the due diligence, the negotiation, the documentation, dealing with the government regulators, it's where it all comes together and where the stock or the assets of the company that you're buying or selling change hands and when the securities that you're issuing get sold.
And when and where are these closings held? Is it like a real estate deal where it's sort of a nondescript event in a lawyer's office?
Well, they can be nondescript or they can be terrifying, but traditionally that's where they were always held. It was in a lawyer's office. Most acquisition closings were done either at the office of the buyer's lawyers or the bank's lawyers, and most offerings were closed at the underwriter's counsel's offices. But more and more, everything is done in cyberspace and on the telephone these days. I can't tell you the last time I was at an in-person closing.
And who typically attends a closing?
Well, public offering closings usually involve a couple of people from each side of the issuer's counsel, underwriter's counsel, somebody representing the auditors to release the bring-down comfort letter, usually a back office person from the underwriters, and ultimately the transfer agent or the trustee for the securities and DTC, who you will call when everything is done and have them release the securities. For a merger, for stock-for-stock public company merger, it's usually just a couple of lawyers from each side and their contacts at the company and the transfer agent and potentially DTC as well. For deals that involve financing, the bank may be involved. You may have a team closing a bank loan and a capital markets transaction alongside your M&A closing. So the cast of characters, once you need any financing for your deal, starts to get a lot larger in terms of the closing.
And how long does a closing typically take?
Depends on the deal, and it also depends a lot on where you are in the process when the client says it's time to close. Sometimes closings wait for nobody, and you have to drink some water through a fire hose in order to get everything done, and so that can they can be quite grueling. That being said, public offering closings, they're usually done in a couple of hours. You have a bring-down due diligence call, you make sure all the deliveries have been made, the underwriters release the funds, and once you know the money's there, you get on the phone with the lead underwriter, the transfer agent or the trustee, somebody from the company and the lawyers, and you call DTC, as I said earlier, to release the stock. Public company M&A closings are usually over pretty quickly too, at least if they're stock-for-stock deals. The thing about public deals is there's not a lot of margin for error. There are time limits for having DTC release securities. There's contractual obligations to deliver investors securities on a T+3 or T+4 basis. Many times people want to be able to say the deal is closed and the merger has happened before the market opens. So there's a lot of kind of hard stops that are often involved in public company deals that people shoot for. The closings for asset deals and as I said, any deals that require financing can be much more involved affairs. Transferring assets is a pain at times, and financing can add all sorts of complexity to the process, particularly if there are security arrangements, as there often are in leverage transactions.
And how often do problems arise?
At a closing, there's always something. Yeah, there is always something, and everybody always has a bit of a knot in their stomach when you get ready to close a transaction. There might be a holdup with a consent, or somebody discovers they haven't paid franchise fees that they were required to pay, or the state doesn't think that they've paid them, and so they can't get a tax clearance certificate that they need if they're going to be merging out of existence in that state. There may be a legal issue that pops up that needs to get addressed at the last minute. There are all sorts of Murphy's Law situations that can pop up, too. The one that still sticks with me after all these years is shortly after I started practicing, I was at a closing in New York that we had spent 3 days and three nights, as in around the clock, preparing for. And we were sitting around at a conference room on a Wall Street law firm waiting to close, but somehow a couple of wires for several hundred million dollars were misplaced. There was a Fed reference number, but the bank said they didn't have it. It was not showing up in the account. So people were just scrambling. They were searching around for hours for the wires. As I said, we had the Fed reference number, but the bank wasn't able to confirm that the money was in the account. And this was a refinancing of a $1 billion LBO that was done with bridge financing. So the overnight interest cost of waiting another day was pretty staggering. So people called around all afternoon, and finally it was discovered that the wire was at the bank where it was supposed to be, but it never made it into the account because one person called in sick that day, and it ended up on his desk.
Bad timing.
Indeed.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.